Today, on this episode of the PureDirect Special Spotlight.
Well, we're going to go back to talking about switch maintenance like we used to talk about 20 years ago in non-small cell lung cancer. I think here the switch maintenance is adding lurbinectedin as a really new effective treatment option for those patients.
Today, Dr. Sosinski and Sabari joined the podcast to discuss ASCO 2025, updates in maintenance therapy for ES-SCLC in this PureDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed through those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mark Sosinski, a thoracic medical oncologist and executive medical director of the AdventHealth Cancer Institute in Orlando, Florida.
And I'm Dr. Joshua Sabari, a thoracic medical oncologist and assistant professor of medicine at New York University Grossman School of Medicine in New York.
Thanks for joining me, Josh.
It's my pleasure to be here, Mark.
So we're here in Chicago for ASCO 2025. We just saw a number of interesting presentations on small cell lung cancer. A few of these offer potential updates to the way we currently use the approved treatments, lurbinectedin and tarlatamab. Why don't we review some of what we heard?
Sounds like a great plan. So beginning with lurbinectedin, we saw primary results of the phase 3 IMforte trial comparing lurbinectedin plus atezolizumab to atezolizumab alone as first-line maintenance in extensive-stage small cell lung cancer. We also saw a phase 1-2 study of the same combination in the second line. So lurbinectedin plus atezolizumab significantly improved the progression-free survival versus atezolizumab alone, with median of 5.4 months versus 2.1 months, with an impressive hazard ratio of 0.54. So Mark, how do you put that into perspective in the frontline maintenance setting?
Well, I think, maintenance has been tried a number of times in small cell lung cancer without success with a number of different agents, both cytotoxic as well as various immunotherapeutic agents. I think this trial, the IMforte trial, is a huge step forward. Of course, it offers maintenance to a select group of patients. These are patients who received four cycles of treatment, maintained a performance status of 0 to 1, and were eligible to go on to get not only maintenance atezolizumab, but be randomized to either lurbinectedin or placebo at that point.
Yeah, I could agree more. And I think first-line maintenance is unique. As you mentioned, it's different than first-line, and it's clearly different than second-line. So these are patients who are already benefiting from therapy with chemotherapy and immunotherapy, who then go on to the combination of atezolizumab plus lurbinectedin. We did see that the combination also showed a significant overall survival benefit with a median of 13.2 months for atezolizumab and lurbinectedin versus 10.6 months for atezolizumab alone. Is that clinically meaningful to you, Mark?
You know, it is, because you have to remember, these patients have take up about 3+ months getting their first four cycles. So when you look at adding 3 to 4 months to those median numbers, now we're looking at a median survival of 16 to 17 months, which is unprecedented in extensive stage small cell lung cancer. However, you have to remember, again, these are select patients, as I mentioned before, getting through the four cycles, being able to be randomized and so on and so forth. But I think for those patients, these survival outcomes are impressive.
I agree. And at what cost did this come to patients? Talk to me a little about some of the toxicities.
Well, you can expect that if you're using two drugs, you're going to see more adverse events. There was really nothing unexpected. If you look specifically at treatment-related adverse events, with the combination of lurbi plus atezo, about 84% versus 40% with atezo alone. There were more grade 3-4 events, about 25% versus about 6%. But again, most of these are manageable. We've had these drugs around for quite some time. And I think we always have to put the toxicity issues or adverse event issues relative to the outcomes we see with survival. So both PFS and OS in this trial were improved, and I think outweigh the potential risk of slightly more toxicity, which we know how to manage in this particular setting.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. So you're back in your office on Monday morning. You have a patient with extensive stage small cell lung cancer who's, you know, had a great response to carboplatin, etoposide, and atezolizumab. What are you going to consider or recommend in that maintenance setting?
Well, we're going to go back to talking about switch maintenance like we used to talk about, 20 years ago in non-small cell lung cancer. I think here the switch maintenance is adding lurbinectedin as a really new effective treatment option for those patients, again, who get through the four cycles of induction treatment and are able to go on. I think that, to me, you could argue that this is using second-line therapy earlier and making sure that patients get it. I mean, obviously, you can't benefit from second-line treatment if you don't get it. And one of the strategies to make sure more patients get it is to use it as maintenance, particularly in those patients that are, let's call them, more sensitive to treatment and more robust because they've made it through the four cycles and are able to go on to, you know, to get maintenance therapy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And really, the IMforte study is the first study to show any survival improvement in the maintenance setting in small cell lung cancer. So exciting, opportunity for patients. I want to pivot and I want to talk about the second line lurbinectedin plus atezolizumab. Mark, tell us a little bit about that study.
So this was a prospective multicenter phase 2 trial. They included two cohorts. Cohort 1 was prior platinum-based chemotherapy only. Cohort 2 was prior platinum plus a PD-1 or PD-L1 inhibitor. A decent number of patients, 151 patients, 68 in cohort 1, 83 in cohort 2. 61% of the patients had platinum-sensitive disease defined as a chemo treatment-free interval of more than 90 days. The overall response rate in the cohort 1, again, this was just platinum in the first-line setting, was 44%, and in cohort 2, 37%. Median progression-free survival was about 4.5 months. Median overall survival, 11 months in the first cohort and slightly less than 10 months in the cohort 2. Responses were observed even in platinum resistance, so those patients that progressed within the first 90 days, and also patients who had received prior immunotherapy at that time. The tox profile, again, we like to use the term manageable. Most patients have adverse events. Grade 3 or greater neutropenia was seen in 16% in the first cohort and about 7% in the second cohort. There were 7 treatment-related deaths, 4 on the cohort 1 and then 2 on cohort, 3 on cohort 2.
Yeah, so great presentation. Let's move on and discuss tarlatamab. We saw the primary analysis of the phase 3 Delphi 304 exploring second-line use of tarlatamab plus chemotherapy. Tell us a little about tarlatamab in this trial.
Yeah, so the Delphi 304 was really, a game changer in this setting. It's a phase 3 randomized trial comparing tarlatamab. This is a bispecific T-cell engager immunotherapeutic agent to standard chemotherapy. And investigators had the choice of choosing the chemotherapy they wanted in the second line. The usual suspects were there, topotecan, lurbinectedin, and amrubicin, a drug we don't have in the United States, but common in Japan and other Asian countries. And this was specifically in previously treated small cell lung cancer patients. The primary endpoint was overall survival. And tarlatamab improved OS, and the numbers were quite impressive, 13.6 months versus 8.3 months. The hazard ratio 0.60, p-value less than 0.001. The key secondary endpoints were also positive, PFS 4.2 versus 3.2 months, hazard ratio 0.72, and a couple of zeros before the one in the p-value. Objective response rate, more than 50% higher, 35% for tarlatamab versus 20% for standard chemotherapy. And the durability of the responses was a little bit longer, 6.9 months versus 5.5 months. Disease control rate, about the same. That includes the stable disease patients. I think one of the nice things in this presentation is patients said they felt better on tarlatamab. The patient-reported outcomes showed significant improvements in dyspnea and cough symptoms with tarlatamab. There was a non-significant trend toward improved chest pain. And again, we have to weigh all these efficacy benefits relative to the safety profile. And there were actually fewer grade 3 or greater treatment-related adverse events with tarlatamab, 27% versus 62%. The low discontinuation rates due to adverse events kind of underscore the tolerability, 3% for tarlatamab, 6% for chemotherapy in this setting. And cytokine release syndromes, you know, kind of foreign to a lot of solid tumor docs, but not foreign to many of our hematologic colleagues, occurred on the tarlatamab arm. But again, most of it was grade 1 or 2 and manageable. I think as we go along, we're going to learn as solid tumor doctors how to manage this much like our malignant heme guys do.
Yeah, so tarlatamab, CD3, DLL3 BiTE, CD3 being the T-cell engager, DLL3, you know, obviously overexpressed in small cell. This handedly beat out, you know, chemotherapy in the second line setting with a 40% reduction in the rates of mortality. So I agree with you, Mark. This is definitely a game changer, but clearly something to think about in the sense of toxicity. You mentioned cytokine release syndrome, but there's also ICANS, right? These neurological sort of complications. So really important to understand how to manage and how to treat these patients so they can effectively get this really great therapy, in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess the one word of caution there is, you know, the small cell lung cancer population can be sometimes quite fragile. And, you know, they tend to be older smokers. They have a lot of comorbidities. So I think we have to be quite vigilant as we introduce this as our standard second line treatment in terms of how we manage these patients. Well, Josh, that's about all the time we have today. I want to thank you for this great conversation and recap of these small cell lung cancer abstracts.
I enjoyed it. Thank you, Mark. And thank you to our audience for watching. Please watch the second part of this video where we will continue our discussion of small cell lung cancer abstracts from ASCO 2025.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PureDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PureDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, or TuneIn. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing, Medical News Roundup, and just ask, what's my Flash Briefing? Thanks today to our guests, Dr. Sosinski and Sabari. Join me next time for an episode where we'll cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.